Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Thursday, February 26, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter There Is a Solution. If you turn your page to 21, the second full paragraph, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you. We're reading seven sentences today, ending with an even dangerously antisocial. Sorry about that. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will read the text, Cara L., A Vision for You, and Vanessa G. is our backup. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, February 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,237. And for Thursday, February 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,242. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Denise, whose last initial I missed, to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Denise.
Good morning, Susan. This is Denise G. And here is the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become...
Can you use food, please? Thank you.
Can you hear me, Susan?
Yes, I was saying, could you use food and not alcohol? Thank you.
Okay. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to to food addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you. We'll next ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service, and thank you to everybody on the line and everybody doing service. Welcome, especially to the newcomers. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for service this month, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter There Is a Solution, page 21, second paragraph. We're reading 7 sentences today. And we're starting with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, and ending with, an even dangerously antisocial. And I will now ask Shelley E. to please start reading and share us. Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Susan. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 21. Here's a fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He's a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's seldom mildly intoxicated. He's always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature but little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Thank you for letting me do service today. When I first read this, I'm a family of addicts, above and below, and I didn't recognize it in myself for a very long time. However, boy, did I recognize it in everybody else. So when I first read this, I could say, there's my son. Yep, there's my daughter. And, doesn't this just talk about my dad? And then when I went to my first meeting and I started reading this and I thought, you're an addict too, Shelley. You don't even realize it. And not to say I was living this great, charmed life. I wasn't. I was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, I remember the look in my husband's face when I would come in the door. And poor guy, he's just a normie caught in the maelstrom. I mean, to tell you. And he would look at me like, okay, who's coming in the door? And I've got to be very careful what I say because I do not want to tip her off, you know, and have her go crazy. Now, I'm not a complete jerk, but I'm telling you, you never knew who you were going to end up with. I definitely was having a lack of control, and I tried to control and thought I controlled everything. It says, he's seldom mildly intoxicated. He's always more or less insanely drunk. And while I might not have been in the food one day, I was thinking about food. So if I wasn't actively eating or actively in my addiction, I was trying to figure out when I could get there next. And what that caused for me is I was never present. And that's what brought me in the room is I figured out that I had grown children, and I could barely remember spending time. I spent a lot of time with my kids, but I couldn't remember spending real time where I wasn't wondering when I could get a bite of this or a bite of that, or when they were going to go to bed so I could have this. And so that is what brought me in the rooms. Even though I wasn't, let me think, I'm kind of losing my thoughts here. And it was just basically to try and get rid of the crazy. And the more I got rid of the crazy, the more I realized that how crazy I was. So definitely I identify as the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is what I'm trying to say. And thank God for, I have to say, for vision for you. And thank God for my higher power that helps me through this every single day and helps me recognize it in myself, because, boy, can I recognize it in other people. And that is not my job. So with that, I'll pass. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, and thank you, Shelley, for your service this month. All right, if you came in a little late, let me tell you where we are. Page 21, we're starting the second full paragraph, as it's a long one, it's being broken down. So it starts with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you. We read seven sentences down to an even dangerously antisocial. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to share this morning?
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Laura W. in New Jersey.
Michaela J.
Lacey P.
Hold on 1 second. Go ahead. I heard Sherry and I heard Laura.
Lisa W.
Denver. Lacey P.
Stephanie Lacey, F. I Donna got B. you. I got Lisa. I got Donna B. and Stephanie
F. Stephanie F.
Yes. Okay, great. You will all have to say where you are from. Lisa W., where are you from?
Denver.
Denver. Lacey, I'm going blank. Where are you? Okay, Donna B., Colorado, I believe, or it could be the other Donna B., and Stephanie
no,
F., where are you from?
Massachusetts. Donna B.
Yes. And Stephanie, where are you from?
California.
Great. All right, so here's who I have. I have Sherry H.M., Laura W., Lisa W., Lacey P., Donna B., and Stephanie F. So if everybody else could kindly mute their lines, and Sherry, I will turn it over to you. Thank you so much.
This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, calling from Washington State. Thank you so much for your service. Oh, I just love you guys. You guys have changed my life for like 11 and a half years. And I can really relate to how puzzling this was, and especially in the lack of control and doing, it says always more or less insanely drunk. That was me with sugar. I have a higher power who I choose to call God. And but you know where I went whenever things got great or bad, or I was scared, and I was, like our book says, I was filled with, 100 different types of fear, and pretty much every day. But where did I go? I went to sugar, and I would just stuff my face. It was just out of control. And then I would get really super depressed, and I would just be, totally on the shame train, just, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this again. But you, all the newcomers and everyone, there is a solution. I love how our book says there is a solution. And for me, that solution is right here in this book, surrendering the whole thing. You know, I just lifted it all up to God. And you know what, though? Wink, wink. I had to do the work, though. I really had to do the work. And you know, I don't miss it a bit. That is an absolute miracle. I always thought, oh, no, you know, people don't know how bad this thing is. But I don't even think of sugar. I can see it. I can be around it. I can, you know, dish it up for other people. And it's just not my thing because this program and God, I'm so grateful that, you know, he let me have this. And I just can't be thankful enough. So if you're out there and discouraged, please, please do the work, get the sponsor, and you're going to be amazed at the amazing, beautiful gift. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Next, we have Laura W. in New Jersey. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. You know, when I read this, I thought, well, this is a severe drunk. Like, this isn't me. This was not me when I was, you know, in my anorexia. And then, you know, I look at it and I think, this is exactly me. You know, I was seldomly mildly intoxicated, so I was constantly starving myself. I was more or less always in that mental state of craziness of, how am I going to get my anorexic food? How am I going to get into privacy and eat it? How am I going to go to a function and not eat and not be noticed? How am I going to get my exercise? You know, I didn't think it was abnormal to be out late in the night by myself in the dark exercising. Like, the danger that was involved in some of the things that I did, it's a miracle that I'm alive. And, you know, let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. I didn't go to my best friend's wedding because I was too in my disease. I didn't go to family functions because, you know, it was inconvenient to my exercising schedule. I couldn't get up, you know, I couldn't get up early enough to exercise as much as I wanted and get to the wedding and get to the function and get to this on time. You know, my lack of control, even though I thought I had everything in control, was, you know, was puzzling. It was not just puzzling. They say it's, you know, that cunning, baffling, and powerful. Cunning, yes, but powerful is that I can't control it. I, you know, what I think I had under control, I, you know, my response was, I got it. You know, I could stop anytime. I know what I'm doing. It has nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. It had everything to do with everybody. And there's a long period of reconstruction ahead in recovery. It doesn't just happen by making amends and moving forward and saying everything's fine. You know, it takes a long time to have new relationships with old people. And I'm really grateful that I feel that my relationships are 100% better. And I'm grateful that, you know, I'm not in that disgustingly, dangerously antisocial mental state. And you can be, too, one day at a time by working these steps. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. in South Jersey. Next, we're going to Denver. Good morning, Lisa W. Lisa in Denver, star one to unmute, please.
Thank you, Lisa W., recovering overeater. And, you know, I feel like now that I'm going to share pretty much what everyone else was sharing in a way. You know, when my relapse got into its worst place, when I got the most sick in the last couple of years, I would go to, you know, in my recovery community and other programs, there's all kinds of parties and potlucks, and, you know, I yearn for community. And so those were just such a big, important part of my social life. And, you know, I remember sitting at a speaker meeting, a big potluck, and I'm not hearing the speaker at all. I'm looking over at the food and wondering, when can I go over and grab some? And when there was a break, you know, in the middle, and everyone's socializing, I'm over at the dessert table and I cannot stop myself, and I'm not connecting. And it got to the point my binging was so bad at these really fun occasions, Super Bowl parties and game nights, I stopped going. And my life just got smaller and smaller. I didn't want to eat. I'd do outreach calls beforehand, in the middle, it didn't work. And the final, well, right at the end, one of my favorite, probably the best day of the week for me is after my Saturday women's meeting, we'd go out for coffee. And I was always like the last person there. I was getting everyone there. And I remember this one day, all I could think about, I couldn't even think. It was so scary. I couldn't think. I couldn't hear anything anyone was saying. All I could think about was this food I wanted to go order. And I left. I left in the middle. I went and put in the to-go order. And the weirdest thing was I didn't even want the food after I put the order in. But I went and got it in my car, ate it. And, you know, it was just crazy. And almost immediately after I started working the steps in this program, I got food neutrality. I, you know, have been able to go to all of these coffees and game parties and pretty much, you know, sometimes if it's just sitting right in front of me, it's a little bit, tiny bit. It's easy to look away and not think about it. And I'm like, this is one of the biggest gifts of the program is to have my connection
That's
back.
Fine, Lisa.
Thank you. And my world is opening up again. I'm so grateful. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next we have Lacey P. And Lacey, if you can tell everyone where you are calling from. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Lacey P., recovered in Texas. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you, Susan, for sharing the meeting. And I'm so grateful this morning as I listen to everyone's shares because it just helps me not feel alone. Like everything that has been said this morning is something that I did or felt, you know. I'm just so grateful that I've finally found a solution and found my people who get me. I was thinking about how, you know, insane, more or less insanely drunk and in absurd, incredible, tragic things that I did while eating or thinking about eating. And I love the strong language in the big book. You know, it's very precise, and it always just really resonates deeply with me. And I remember so well, it hasn't been that long, actually, feeling completely out of control and doing insane things with food and other things as well. And how, you know, for me, the obsession, just the mind stuff was so powerful. Have neutrality from that obsession and to be able to be present. Like this morning with my child, when he woke up, my blood sugar wasn't all dysregulated. I wasn't hungover from the food. I wanted to do my prayer meditation. He woke up early. He wanted to snuggle with me and talk to me. And I was able just to be in that moment and to thank God for it because I also have a 29-year-old son, and a lot of his childhood, you know, I was deeply in the food and deeply disconnected from him and from my true self and from everyone else in my life. It just, someone else said it too, my life got so small. It takes everything. When I pick up the food, the disease does with me what it wants to do with me. And I am powerless. I have no choices in my life. And today, that is not how I'm living. I have been given a miracle, and I'm just so, so grateful. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you so much, Lacey. Next, we're going to Massachusetts to Donna B. Thank you, Donna.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Nice to be here with you. Are my people. I mean, I'm exactly like all of you in one way or another. Am I Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Yes. When I'm not binging and I'm recovering, I am a different person. But when I'm binging, when I stop binging, I'm disgusting. I am the antisocial. Someone said they missed a wedding. I missed several weddings because I was into the food. I missed several confirmations, communions, anything you could think of. I missed it. I wouldn't even go to funerals if I was into the food. And dates. When I was younger and I was dating, I would gain excessive amounts of weight because I binged, and I would cancel the date because of the food. But today I'm not doing that. Just recently I lost my sponsor, and so I have been looking, but I don't want to rush into it in a rush way, but because I don't want to pick wrong. And I, you know, it has to be somebody special. I have to do it one day at a time when it comes to that. I am looking, and I have spoken to a few people. Lack of control, yes, when I'm binging, I have a total lack of control. And I never get, it's never one or the other with me. It is one or the other. It's either I'm totally eating or I'm good. And when I'm eating, I'm one of these low-bottom drunks. I don't start gradually. I binge, you know, and I have to worry now because I've just been through the 12 steps once again. And I'm starting to slip. And the slips will get bigger and bigger because I know me. I know my, you know, I know what I am. I'm a compulsive overeater. And so I'm here today because I love Vision and I love all of you people. And I love the help in these rooms. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Next, we have Stephanie F. in California. Good morning, Stephanie. Stephanie, star one to unmute, please.
Hi, everyone. Thought it was unmuted. Stephanie F.
No
in
problem.
California. Thank you, Susan, and to everyone for your service. When I was reading this, I really liked some of the words like puzzling. For me, when I came into the room, I didn't realize I was an insanely drunk food addict, and I was definitely, like everyone's been saying, very angry, miserable, had a lot of fear and anxiety. And I spent a lot of time, especially when my kids were little, eating, especially after they'd go to bed, and turning to food. And I was very, I don't know what the right word is, but unstable, where I could be really pleasant to be around. And then the next moment, I could just fly off the handle. And since coming into the rooms, and I'm newer to Vision for You and listening to Vision for You, working with my sponsor, I have a connection with my higher power. And it's been such a gift because I have a morning routine, and Vision is often part of that morning routine where I listen to others and I spend time connecting with my higher power. And I'm no longer this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I have a lot more peace and serenity and stability, so that when I'm around my kids, they're in their teens now. Someone had said it earlier, but it's not like they're looking at me going, who's it going to be? Is it crazy mom or is it nice mom? And it's been so freeing to have that. And I have situations that come up. I was at a school board meeting last night, and they had one of my red light foods there. And I have food neutrality, where I And I say little things to myself that, oh, I love those, but they don't love me. And I move through it, and my higher power gets me through a day at a time being abstinent. And with that, I'll pass. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. All right, before I take the next lineup, let me remind you where we are. We're on page 21, second paragraph. We read seven sentences today, starting with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, through to an even dangerously antisocial. So if this is your third day to share on either vision meeting, please can you give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning? Who would like to share?
Yeah.
T. Charles H. from New York.
Okay,
Charles, and there was, hold
Robin
on one
T.
second, there was a lady who came, Robin, I got you. Who came in before Charles? I didn't catch your name.
Danielle T. in Colorado.
Thank you, Danielle. And there was someone else with Danielle, I think.
Asia A. at California.
Asia A. in California.
Michaela J.
Okay. Thank you, Michaela. I've got you. Thank you. Might have time for one more. Anyone else?
Jennifer G., California.
Roz G. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Roz. I'll do my best to get everybody in. The clock is in charge. All right, so I've got Charles H., Robin P., Danielle P., Asia A., Michaela J., Jennifer G., and Roz G. Charles, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Suzanne. Thank you for your service, and thank you for all the comments around the world. As I go deeper into the steps, in particular, spot check inventories, and I'm no longer letting them linger all day. And then, I'll do 11-step review. Getting them off of me as quick as I can. It turns me into a steadier person. So, when I embrace my shadows, I don't have to just be like, yeah, this is Charles H., the recovered compulsive overeater. No, I'm sick every single day. And when I take my medicine, I become whole. I'm not just good. I'm bad. I'm up. I'm down. I'm black. I'm white. I'm this. I'm that. And when I embrace, in particular, page 55, when it says deep down inside of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. What is that? What is the fundamental idea of God? It's me. It's me at my purest form, at my rawest form. And when I embrace this program of action, I become more whole. Do I become better? Probably. But I can't shine in the light. I got to shine in the dark. So as I embrace my shadows, I am more steadier. I am more calmer. I'm not better. I'm better off. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles, and nice to have you here with us this morning. Next, I think it was Robin T., even though I said Robin P., so if I'm correct, whichever Robin that was, could you please unmute? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. You are correct. Robin T. from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you very much, and thank you all. Good morning. I was really awful in the food. I know this is an outside issue, but it's really related. I've been taking antidepressant medication since 1992. And in the food, I was always going to my doctor saying, we have to increase this. We have to increase this. We have to increase this. Because I thought it was just depression, something wrong with my brain or my chemicals. Well, the food was affecting the chemicals. The food was affecting everything in my body. Not only that, I was on the couch a lot. And my husband would say on a Tuesday, hey, you want to do this thing on Saturday night? And I would say, I don't know, because I don't know how I'm going to be feeling. Or I would say, yes, sure, let's try, right? And Saturday would come and I would cancel because I'd been binging all week and I was sick from food mentally and physically. Not only that, I lost friends. They stopped calling because I always made some kind of excuse, not feeling well. Oh, you know how I struggle with depression, can't do it. And now I say yes. I say yes, and I go, and I do, and I'm living my life. And I'm so very, very grateful. This is a disease where we have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and the body and the mind are one. I found that out. Thank you so much today for your service, Susan, and for everybody on the line. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin T. in Massachusetts. Next, we're going to Colorado. Good morning to Danielle P. Danielle, star one, please. Okay. Maybe Danielle's having a technical difficulty. I will go to Asia A in California. Go ahead, Asia.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I am a little bit new at the Vision for You, and I love to be in the meeting every morning. But I would like to, I don't know how to get the phone numbers and how to get it, how to send my number at the meeting. So, like,
just
some help.
Stay on
that.
At the end, Asia. If you want to share now, you can, but stay on when we close the meeting and you'll be able to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, because I was working my program and I lost my sponsor and I'm not in a good place right now. But thank you. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Let me try again for Danielle P. Are you here, Danielle?
I am. I'm so sorry about that, Susan. Yes.
Don't worry.
I was having technical difficulties. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, my fellows. This is Danielle T, T as in Tom, in Colorado. And I just can talk about so many things. I'm just going to pull out a few. Puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. You know, this was not just in the way I ate. It was with my emotions. I could not control my emotions. I remember there was probably the worst time of my life when I was upset that I had to leave my college and the college that I had been attending for 2 years and transfer to another one. I was just screaming and yelling at my mother and father. Like, I just can't even believe who that person was. And, you know, here I was, sweet as pie to everyone else, but like just screaming and yelling, so angry. And then the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, just, well, I guess that's what I just spoke of. Seldom mildly intoxicated. I remember when I lived, it brought me back to the time I lived in Paris and I was eating so much sugar. I was falling into sleep comas. I could not, it would just say, I'd eat all of this sugar and then I'd just sleep for hours and disappear. I talk about missing weddings. I remember being at my sister's wedding, how ashamed I was, and so many weddings. I was in so many weddings, always ashamed, always gained more weight when the dress came. When the wedding came and I had to fit into the dress, finally, disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Like many of you have said, I've lost friends over this. A friend in particular who was going through a very exciting time in life, and I couldn't be there for her. I was stuck in my depression and misery. I could not keep my commitments. And so I am just so grateful. So, so grateful for this program and the spiritual solution to this problem that has changed my life. I am a woman of my word now. I show up. I do what I say I'm going to do, and I follow through. And I have good friends, really good friends and relationships today. So thank you. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Danielle, and glad you made it back to share. Next, we're going to Canada. Good morning to Michaela J.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michaela, recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. Thank you, Susan, for your service and for everybody else with your readings and incredible, incredible shares. I'm like, wow, can this meeting go on for a couple of hours this morning? So here's a fellow who's been puzzling you. And yeah, I puzzled everybody. You know, every time they saw me, I looked completely different. I was either overweight or underweight, or my face was puffy because I'd been binging, or I was injured because I'd been over exercising. Nobody ever knew what I was going to get. You know, I was either very, very social, or I completely withdrew, because the minute I took that first fatal bite, my world closed down. You know, I'd isolate, I'd eat, I'd care for nothing else. You know, I'd go on, as had been mentioned earlier, supposed to go on dates and then cancel because I binged and was absolutely convinced that poor chap was going to be able to see that I binged. You know, my food and my weight was all I could think and care about. You know, obviously I didn't want to be seen cramming food into my mouth, that feeling of just so much shame of not wanting to do it, but having absolutely no choice. You know, I'd shut down, I'd disassociate. I may even try and I tried it many times to, you know, destroy my alcoholic foods by pouring something onto them. But then I'd eat it anyway and eat around whatever I'd poured over it, or I'd be back into the rubbish to get the food out that I'd thrown away. You know, I'd like no control and absolutely no choice once I took that bite. And, you know, the only thing I can think about is getting more food, no matter what the consequences to myself or others, or in the other, you know, direction of my disease, how am I going to get rid of this food? How am I going to run off or exercise off this weight? You know, how can I purge without somebody not hearing me? You know, how many days do I need to starve to get this weight off? You know, completely different person in and out of the disease, emotionally all over the place. And I think that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela. Okay, I think we can get our California girls in here. So I have Jennifer G, followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Jennifer. Thank you. Jennifer, star one to unmute, please. Jennifer, is that you?
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. Hi, Jennifer, recovered compulsive overeater in California, and really glad to be on the line this morning. So this reminds me of, and still, I want to remember it every day. When I got to Provision, Overeaters Anonymous, I thought I was dying, and so I was preparing to die. What I believed at that time, when I had lost my twin sister and my husband and my brother and my niece and everybody to addiction and more than that, but I was in so much pain. And so where I went with that pain is to the food. And I do remember having that moment in time at the kitchen counter where I ate something, and I thought, this only made me feel better for about 9 seconds. And then I just kept repeating this pattern of behavior where I went from the kitchen, from my bed to the kitchen, from the couch to the kitchen, everything. It was this vicious cycle, that kept repeating itself. And I was really at that time looking for something outside of myself to fix this inside problem. So I was going to doctors. I couldn't breathe. I had so much weight on my chest. It was affecting my lungs. Every joint in my body was hurting. A lot of inflammation from the food I was eating. I was allergic to the food I was eating, and it was causing a physical reaction. So God sent someone from Overeaters Anonymous that got me to my first meeting just a little less than 3 years ago. And once I admitted, I said yes to that, and I admitted that I was a real compulsive overeater and that I had this disease, my journey began of putting the food down and working the steps and continuing to work the steps and live the steps. I realized today that denial, which is what I was in, all I was doing was kicking the can down the road. It wasn't fixing anything. And so the other thing that I did here was about anxiety. I did eat over anxiety and resentment and fears, and I do 10 steps and talk to people and my fellows. And I'm just so grateful to be here because this program has given me life. And you all being here every day. Thank you. It has really made such a huge difference in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, our last share is Roz G. And Roz, we should have the 3 minutes, but if not, I'll let you know when the clock turns.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Susan, thank you. I'll try to make it quick. I always say that and then go on forever.
You have
time. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I just want to say that with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I want to say that, you know, there are foods that hype me up. And it's coarse sugar and caffeine. And I don't eat those anymore. And caffeine, man, I'm telling you. I am not Roz when I drink caffeine. I am hyped up. My heart is pacing. My brain is bulging. And I am saying things are coming out of my mouth before I realize what I'm saying. And many times it's like trying to be funny or get attention. That's what sugar and caffeine does to me. I'm impatient. And I will say things that are hurtful. So while eating those foods, I am not a nice person. I'm not loving, kind, and gentle to anybody. And I don't want to be that way. I love what the steps have done for me. I love in the morning when I ask God to divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And to pause when agitated, that is so helpful to calm down. God is in the pause. God is in the pause and also in the paws because I love walking with my dog. So it's a very quiet and special time for me or social. So I can't eat those things because they make me disgustingly mean and I don't want to be that way. So I'm just going to go ahead and pass and thank you for letting me share and for your service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz. Okay, thank you, Team February. We made it. We made it. Shelley E., Cara L., Vanessa G., Jody E., stay on with them at the end, and Leslie M., stay on, please. Denise G. for covering today, and Joanne L. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.